As we go through the second enrollment period for Obamacare, we're learning through revised CBO numbers and personal experiences of people how what was promised regarding things like costs, flexibility, effectiveness, well, they continue to fall short of reality. My next guest is here to share ideas on how to fix a broken health care system, which now has been placed at the feet of the new GOP majority in Congress. He presents his ideas in his new book, Overcoming Obamacare, Three Approaches to Reversing the Government Takeover of Healthcare. He's the commentary editor for the Washington Examiner, Philip Klein. Good morning, Philip.
Good morning.
And, of course, it's WashingtonExaminer.com on the web. Let me start with the cost, because I remember, and then we'll get into some of the ideas that you present in Overcoming Obamacare. Remember, I guess it was 2009 that Obama himself said that Obamacare is not going to cost any more than $900 million in any given year. And this past week, the CBO came out with numbers that, I think the people who were, the weather forecasters and the blizzard call from this past week, they were probably a little more accurate than Obama was with the financials of Obamacare.
Yeah, basically what happened is that when Democrats were passing Obamacare, if you remember, it came right after the economic stimulus bill, which had cost around $800 billion. So they didn't want a bill that could be said to cost $1 trillion. So what they did was, because in D.C., the Congressional Budget Office, which evaluates spending proposals, evaluates things over a 10-year period, what Democrats did was that they made all the major spending in Obamacare, they delayed it until 2014. So when there was a 10-year window that looked from 2010 to 2019, it actually only measured 6 years of spending. So when Obama said that his bill would cost around $900 billion, it actually cost $900 billion in those 6 years of when it actually got implemented. Now we have a fuller picture of how much Obamacare is going to cost over a 10-year period, and it's actually $2 trillion, or more than double what Obama originally presented it as.
Now, here's the part, and granted, I'm not a business major, but I can apply logic to a situation. Using those numbers, that makes the estimate for every person who gets health insurance under Obamacare, the cost is $50,000 per person with who will get in the insurance. They're not obviously going to be paying $50,000 a year for that insurance. So how does this system wind up sustaining itself?
Well, it doesn't. And that's why in my book, Overcoming Obamacare, I argue that Republicans need an alternative, because it's easy to just oppose Obamacare. But the problem is that then we're just stuck with the unsustainable status quo. Not just in Obamacare, but the programs of Medicare and Medicaid, which have long been on the books and are bankrupting the country. And so unless we get an alternative that moves the healthcare system in a more market-oriented direction, then we're going to end up with something even worse than Obamacare, which is a fully government-run system along the lines of what they have in Canada or Britain.
And along with the health insurance, of course, state by state has a little joy of the expansion of Medicaid and all the additional costs that provides and creates, as the federal kick in to the state's expansion is going to be on a declining schedule as the decade goes on. You have the reformers, the replacers, and the repealers or the restarters. Is repeal even possible, given how many tentacles this law has?
Well, there are two views on this. One is, no, that it isn't, that it's too entrenched, and that typically it's been hard to undo and take away benefits once they've been given. But there's another view, which is that unlike programs like Medicare and Social Security, which were passed by partisan majorities, which were popular at the time and which have been on the books for decades and remain popular, Obamacare is relatively new, and it still remains incredibly unpopular. One of the things I point to in my book is that there is that infamous statement of Nancy Pelosi, you have to pass the bill to find out what's in it.
Yeah.
Now, most people take that to mean nobody read the bill, which may also be true, but really what her point was that once people experienced Obamacare, and once it got passed and people would see all the great things in it, then it would become popular. But now it's been implemented. There are millions of beneficiaries, but it's as unpopular as ever. A recent Gallup poll said just 37% of Americans approve of the law. Even among the uninsured, it's been unpopular. So if there, so it's true that historically there was a historically there has been a reticence to take away benefits and repeal a law like this. There's also no historical precedent for a law that's remained that was rammed through that was so major that was rammed through on such a partisan basis that remains so unpopular.
The whole concept, too, of affordability, I mean, I'm just looking at the New Jersey stats, and this is from Health and Human Services. There were, as of January 16th, 211,788 New Jersey consumers who were selected or automatically enrolled in what they call marketplace coverage, Obamacare. Of that 211,788, 83% of the applicants, health insurance holders in New Jersey, were getting subsidies to help pay for their premiums. Where's the affordability if you need government funds to pay what the government said you're going to be able to afford?
Well, this is one of the most villainous aspects of Obamacare, is that what it does is that it imposes a raft of new regulations on insurance policies, saying what type of insurance every person must buy. And because it imposes all these conditions on what defines insurance, that naturally drives up the price tag of insurance. So in order to compensate people and make it somewhat affordable, they have to use taxpayer subsidies. So the world of Obamacare is a world in which more the cost of more government regulation is being compensated for by more taxpayer money.
Which on to the 2014 tax forms, in case you haven't gotten your tax forms or looked at them yet, you're going to have to put up proof or pay up money this year if you don't have health insurance.
Yes, and people who receive subsidies may have some of that taken back if the Obama administration miscalculated their subsidies. And it's also true that if you receive subsidies, you can file a 1040 EZ tax form. You have to file a more complicated set of tax forms.
Philip Klein, Overcoming Obamacare, Three Approaches to Reversing the Government Takeover of Healthcare, WashingtonExaminer.com is where Philip works as commentary editor, and you are listening to Issues and Ideas. As you mentioned, I guess there are some elements that both politicians and the consumer did embrace with Obamacare, pre-existing conditions being one. But when you look at the financials, never mind the programs, when you look at the base spending, the tax structure, again, that's another part of the complicated maze that Obamacare has created. How do what's the best path to cure that ill? There's a bad pun for the morning. Is it the replacing, the repealing, or the reforming?
Okay. Well, I mean, basically, the way that this works is that Republicans have to get past, as I write today in the Washington Examiner, they have to get past a number of hang-ups over what that ultimately boil down to: what should the government's role be in the health insurance arena? Is it enough to back off and to take away a lot of the distortionary government policies that have complicated the creation of a free market and sort of free up the market, give consumers more choice and control over their dollars, and watch the magic of the market work to bring down price and increase quality, just like we're used to in computers or televisions or other forms of innovation? Where the other path says, no, we have to somehow make sure that government does things to make health insurance broadly affordable. And so, in terms of subsidies now, they believe that that system should be sort of less highly regulated than Obamacare and allow for more choice and competition and so forth. But they'd go further in terms of government intervention. So that's sort of the big dividing line. And from that dividing line, you see you know, other types of debates and arguments.
Just to wrap things up, John Boehner said this past Wednesday that the Republicans have a plan, or the Republican leadership has a plan. It wasn't really, it was more of a vague statement, but you kind of assume that's the leadership that's going to present it at the very least. Coming from a man who, what, maybe 3 years ago said Obamacare is the law of the land and almost shrugged off conservative efforts to do something about it, should people be enthused about what's going to be revealed?
Well, I think that what we've seen about from Boehner is that he's ultimately a product of what of his caucus, and I think that and one of the reasons why I wrote my book Overcoming Obamacare was to make sure that people outside of Washington had a better sense of what's being considered and what the different options are. Because I think the problem is there's this policy debate that happens behind closed doors in Washington, and a lot of people outside of Washington don't get to see that, or it's people throw around a lot of sort of jargony phrases where they're just talking in Washington terminology, and people don't understand what they're talking about. And so that's what I tried to do in my book, was to sort of translate that debate so that people in the rest of the country could understand it and hopefully rally around one of these different approaches to an alternative, and in turn put pressure on their members of Congress to try to move in one given direction. And I think that ultimately we're going to have to force John Boehner's hand on this. I mean, you saw this similarly with Democrats, right? Obama didn't just magically endorse Obamacare. If you go back during the presidential race in 2007, very early on, liberal activists were pressuring Democratic candidates to get behind some kind of government health care program. And Obama ultimately endorsed what was then a fairly consensus position on the left, but there's no clear consensus on the right. So I think that those who have problems with Obamacare should be studying the alternatives and trying to rally around one of them and push their leaders to do so.
The great thing Philip does with Overcoming Obamacare, Three Approaches to Reversing the Government Takeover of Healthcare, in 114 pages, he does make the very detailed and overly complicated a lot more easy to understand with the alternatives that he presents. And hopefully unity will replace the confusion and the arguments that have been taking place, because the more time goes on, the more the cost is going to come to you. And again, I'll refer you to your tax forms as a little taste of what's still to come regarding Obamacare. Overcoming Obamacare, Three Approaches to Reversing the Government Takeover of Healthcare. Get it through your favorite means of getting a book, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, if you're one of those weird people who actually still go to a bookstore. And also you can check out Philip's work as commentary editor for the Washington Examiner, washingtonexaminer.com. Philip Klein, thanks for being here this morning.
Thanks for having me.